All right, we are here on Monday night. It is the middle of the Celtics game, but the only thing on our minds is this draft lottery, and the Dallas Mavericks, Max, have been rewarded with Cooper Flagg. What an insane happening. What a storyline. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are,
this is fucking rigged. And I think this whole scenario, going back to the original trade with Luka, I've been coming on this podcast and saying there's something fishy here. And let me just explain the scenario before, just let me get this whole scenario out there, and then you tell me if it sounds like it's fishy. A team that had gone to the finals last year decides to shop and trade their best player. No, sorry, not shop. They decide to trade their best player without shopping him around the league for a very minimal package for what he would be worth to the most popular team in the NBA, potentially in all of American sports, who it happens to be right on the brink of losing the face of their franchise and potentially going into this era of mediocrity. Suddenly, they are just gifted this superstar who is going to make them relevant for the next decade. And in return, this team that makes that crazy trade that no one gets somehow has a 1.8% chance of winning the lottery and bringing in another star who's going to make them relevant for another decade. And guess what? They do it. Tell me, does that not sound fishy at all to you?
It does sound fishy. There's a lot of people on Twitter using the word rigged. Here's my question. If you're Nico Harrison, let's just say that conspiracy is right and Adam Silver comes to Nico Harrison and he's like, hey, if you trade Luka to LA, I'll make sure you get the number one pick for Cooper Flagg this year. If I'm Nico Harrison, I still don't think I say yes to that. But of course, okay, he does because he traded Luka.
There was some fraction. I don't think Nico was obsessed with Luka.
Yeah.
But I think you got to sit back here and say, well, maybe Nico's not as dumb as he's been sounding or as he looks. He probably was like, I do want to move off of this guy, but I understand that the fan base will actually turn on me. And I do think this year, if the Mavericks don't make it to the finals, and maybe they saying they keep Luka and they don't make it to the finals or they fall short, I think you start to have these difficult conversations and they start to look to move Luka. And the only difference is you actually shop him and get away a bigger package than what you probably would be get that than what you would have definitely gotten, or what you did get. So I think they clearly there was something. The thing that makes it the most fishy to me is that it only was LA. The fact they didn't shop Luka. I for the life of me will never understand why he made this move without shopping him and potentially getting a historic haul for Luka. And the only way that makes sense is if the commissioner comes to you and says you are going to get a guy in Cooper Flagg who may not be, he's not a generational player. I think Cooper Flagg is going to be an incredible prospect. I don't think he's a generational prospect in the likes of Wemby or what we thought of as Zion, guys like that. But he is a very, very good prospect, think Jason Tatum-esque, right? Where it's a really good guy who should, if he does what we think he can do, should be a top five player in this league. And I think that's what happened. I think he just got offered the pick. I mean, it makes more sense than what happened tonight, right?
They had a 1.8% chance to get this pick, which is absolutely absurd. The Hawks got it last year at 3%, and nobody really came into, you know, brought that into question and said it was rigged because it was for Zachary Risacher. This is insane that it's 1.8% and that it's the year that they trade Luka. I'm not saying it's rigged, okay? There are a lot of people saying that it is. I usually tend to believe the more lighthearted positive side that this was just a coincidence. But the reality is Cooper Flagg is a Dallas Maverick for all intents and purposes. How do you feel about him on this Mavericks team?
Well, he certainly fits. I think from what we've looked at, Cooper is clearly the guy that you and I have spent the most time as a prospect looking at, for sure. I think we feel the most comfortable with him. And he's clearly an additive guy that you can put in, and he's like, this is going to sound weird, but I would describe him as almost as inoffensive, where wherever you put him, he's not going to – he can take that back seat and play a back-end role. Or if he was to go to the Wizards or Utah or whatever, he can be that number one option. But on this team, clearly you're looking at – I mean, Kyrie's return is going to be limited, but you clearly have other guys on this team that might be the number one option. But eventually Cooper can grow into that. I think for right now, a plug and play guy like him is going to be really additive to this team. It's just a shame that they're going to be trying to win basketball games, and these next few years are going to get incredibly ugly for them, just contractually and health-wise and age-wise with this team. And it's going to stink that in 5 years, this team around Cooper could be very gamey and ugly. And I think that's the problem that we have with it.
Yeah, they don't have
Basketball
a lot of
sucks.
picks going forward. They don't have a lot of young assets. So yeah, I think it'll be cool to see Coop on a playoff team right away. I think a lot of people were hoping for that, but in terms of like his career trajectory, I don't think this is the best spot that he could have gone. He was, one spot away from being a dynasty in San Antonio.
I mean, that
And
in itself is crazy too. I mean, if you want to look, just go back San Antonio. Sorry to cut you off, but San Antonio, I mean, you're talking about there's a question with NBA ratings, right? What's going to bring in more ratings than a San Antonio team that's good right away? And how do you do that? You can get a really good piece with this number two pick, whether that's by trading that number two pick for a bigger asset, or by keeping that pick and taking a Dylan Harper, a Vijay Edgecombe, a Derek Queen, whoever you may take in the draft class that's really good and makes this team really a lot more impressive. I smell a little fishiness on that one too.
yeah, I if I'm San Antonio, I think I'm trading Harper. I think I'm throwing everything I have at Giannis. And I mean, like, Harper would be really good there, no doubt. But when you also have Fox as like your ball handler, downhill point guard kind of guy, like, Harper's not necessarily super needed there. And I just wonder if like if Giannis does request that trade, Milwaukee looks at it and is like, all right, this is probably the best package we're gonna get. It's Harper, it's maybe it's Castle, maybe it's a couple other young guys and some other picks going forward. They also have another pick in the lottery. I think they got 14 as well. So they
Definitely.
have ammo now, San Antonio, and they're going to make a big splash this summer, whether it's for Giannis or not, I don't know. They could also just, maybe trade down and maybe end up with a more proven guy. Maybe they go for like Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, someone with the Pels, instead of drafting
What
the
about
young
Booker?
Dylan Harper. Yeah, Booker might be available. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I didn't even think about pick 14, and I'm so happy you brought it up. I mean, the idea, like a package. If you're San or what's it called, Milwaukee, getting pick two, pick 14, Stephon Castle, and maybe some future draft capital, probably definitely future draft capital for Giannis. That's a very good package for him. I mean, you're obviously going to need to make salaries match, and I don't know, I'm not on the trade machine at this very moment to make that trade work. But I think a trade like that, if I'm Milwaukee, I actually really like that move. I mean, you get two young guys right away with whoever you're three with Castle, and then the other two are with whatever picks you take, and then you get p future draft assets and draft capital down the line. You immediately have a much younger team, and you can start that rebuild pretty quickly. I mean, I think that's a move that you sh that's worth looking at if you're Milwaukee, for sure.
I think San Antonio offers it. As
Definitely.
much as I love Dylan Harper, if you have a shot to go get Giannis and pair him with Wemby and be like an immediate contender, I think you got to do it. Obviously, Giannis's availability in those trade talks is still kind of up in the air. But what other thoughts you
Absolutely.
got?
Well, my initial thoughts are what happens to tanking now? I think tanking just gets a whole
Yeah.
lot uglier.
I don't know. I mean, it makes you question the whole lottery process, kind of like with a team with 1.8% getting the pick. It's like, what is the point of tanking at this point? If it's just going to be totally random and a team like that gets the pick, and the same thing happened last year. I don't know. It does. It seems to be counterintuitive. Like, they're not helping the bad teams get better, and you're rewarding a team that made one of the worst trades in NBA history this year.
Absolutely. I mean, the 4, 5, 6 of this draft should be, I think you and I were talking about this before. I think they're livid. I mean, you have Charlotte coming in at 4, Utah coming in at 5, and the Wizards coming in at 6. If I'm those teams, I don't even know, I have the word for it. Like I'm distraught. I mean, this is a big, those are, that's a, this draft is pretty top heavy, and you're still going to get some good players. But I mean, if you're the Wizards and you add Cooper Flagg to what they have right now, they're in a really good spot for the future. And now at pick 6, like, you're probably hoping Derek Queen's there, maybe, if he doesn't draw or if he doesn't get
It's
taken.
just, it
Like, I
doesn't
don't
even
really
matter who
know
it
what you're
is.
looking
It's
for.
just the drop off is way too big to, justify it at all.
And if you're Charlotte, I mean, Charlotte would have been one of the more perfect places for him. I think Charlotte, Utah, and Washington are the three best spots for Cooper in terms of bringing all the media that you need to bring to another area for basketball, right? Like that's just those are three cities with a bunch of potential to be basketball hubs. I think living in the area right now, Charlotte is definitely really in on college basketball, and there is potential here at like for Charlotte Hornets fandom. They just need to have like a star that they can latch onto that actually wins, not like LaMelo. Like people love LaMelo here, but if you added Cooper Flagg to what they have in Charlotte, he's a guy that's from the area. He went to Duke. I mean, he's obviously from Maine, but he went to Duke. People love him down here. And then you add him to a team that's close by, and he's going to make them better. And he makes a really fun tandem with Brandon Miller and LaMelo. Like that makes Charlotte a very media focused city. And same thing with
Yeah.
Washington, and same thing with Utah. And you lost that opportunity by going and putting him in Dallas. Like, granted, I mean, this is going to be the biggest story of the offseason. One of the biggest stories is going to be what happens with Giannis and what happens with Cooper Flagg. But I just think they miss an opportunity to sort of help out these younger teams. And if it's not rigged, that sucks. But if it is rigged, like we think it is, I think they made a really weird choice here. And it's just surprising.
Oh man, I can't say it's rigged. I know like everybody is. I went on Twitter for maybe 10 minutes and it's every other tweet is like an established NBA person being like, I think this is rigged. Like I'll never believe that this was real.
Well, there's so many times that it's so you're telling me when Cleveland somehow gets the first overall pick when LeBron gets drafted and that it's somehow his hometown team gets that pick, it's not weird. And then somehow when they think he's right on the brink of leaving or he's right he came back, I forget the exact timeline. Whatever they get Kyrie, it was right when it was like a murky time for LeBron. Somehow they get Kyrie. And then when there was I forget what the exact draft order was, but they have the video of them folding the corner of the
Yeah.
card. I forget for which draft that was. But I just think that there's kind of a history of murkiness, and I mean I never believed really in these NBA conspiracies until this Luka trade. So for this to happen along like coinciding with that, I think it's ridiculous in my opinion. Like I love that you're an NBA purist and you're hoping that it doesn't work, but I don't know, man. And then it was 1985 for Patrick Ewing. That's the folded card thing.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, I'm excited to watch Dallas next year, no doubt. Like they're gonna be a really fun watch. They're gonna be intriguing and like in, contender discussions, and that's gonna be fun. I do just have this feeling that I wish, Flag went somewhere else because one, the Mavs just simply don't deserve it. And like that type of season shouldn't be rewarded with an awesome prize at the end. And two, what we said about the future for Coop. I think, it could get after these, I don't know, 2 or 3 seasons, it could get pretty ugly as Cooper's starting to really develop and hit his prime, and he's going to be on potentially a bad team. But yeah, that's all too far out in the future, and maybe we're speaking too soon on that. Maybe they figure it out. But it's not like they have the best team builder and decision maker at the helm over there.
We
But
might. They might actually have the best. They literally might because they got the number one overall pick and they fixed it. So they might have the best. And we, if, he might have, Nico Harrison might have just big brained us. And
yeah,
if you're a Mavs
especially
fan
after
that
that Luka
left,
playoff run, he's sitting
yeah, who's
back
feeling
like
better than
feeling like a
Nico right
genius.
now? Yeah. I mean, so I have a question for you. If you're a Mavs fan who swore off the team, what do you do
Huh, good question. I don't
right
know.
now?
I feel like they swore off Nico, not the team. Like, do you think people were actively rooting
Yes.
against the team?
Yes. I think people, I saw on Twitter, like people were like, I'm gonna just follow Luka to the Lakers. I'm off the Mav
Tough
I'm off
man.
this team. Or people just stop watching basketball, like stop watching the Mavericks and just like I had a bunch of people that were just like, I'm NBA free agents. Or I saw a bunch of people that were just like, I'm a free agent right now. I don't know what team I'm on or a fan of. So I do think I think that's really interesting. And then also I wanted to shout out Brooklyn here. Brooklyn had like the most ethical tank. Honestly, all four of those teams, Utah was a little bit like Utah was not playing a lot of their
Slightly
guys.
unethical, yeah.
Yeah, Utah was a little bit more unethical, but I think if you're Portland, Brooklyn, Toronto, Charlotte, Washington, all those teams had the most ethical tank where you're they're playing their guys every night.
Yeah, they're
They're
just
trying
young
to
and
win
bad.
games and they're
Yeah.
just bad. And then you just go to Dallas, who was actually good too. That's the other thing. They were only bad because of injuries. That's it.
Yeah,
Like
they're, I mean, they're a
that's
play-in team. It's a 1.8% chance. It's ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they should even get a percentage at that point. I don't know.
I just think it's I don't know. Like the reason they have it the way that they have it is because they don't want tanking.
Yeah.
But they also just made it so you should tank really hard if you're going to tank now because you're going to have the highest percentage to get it, I think, right?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, the three teams, the three te the Charlotte Jazz and Wizards, they had the same amount of they were like the equal they were
Yeah, but they
equally
got
at like
screwed.
13.8%. True, but I
Like,
think
what's the
like that
point?
means. True, I guess that's a good idea. I like in my mind, I'd be like, all right, well, I just have to be the worst team of all time to get the highest chance of getting it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's such a strange situation.
It just sucks. I think it's a shame that the bad guy, the team that deserves it, literally does not deserve it more than any other team, I think. I can't think of another. It would be like if the Lakers got the number one overall pick at this point. Like those are the two, the
They should
Celtics,
have
the
been like
Lakers.
banned as soon as the Luka trade went through. They should have been in the lottery, but banned from getting the number one pick, just so that there weren't
Absolutely.
conspiracy discussions, and so they didn't get rewarded.
And it's not like they moved off of Luka and then made good trades. They traded for Caleb Martin and got rid of
Dot,
Grimes. Yeah, Grimes. Like they just made so many bad moves this year, and they're just getting gifted. They're getting gifted Cooper Flagg. He's gonna be good and gonna be awesome for the next 10+ years. And now they control him. And I think one thing that you said that like I don't think we fleshed out enough is that they don't have draft capital. So this idea that, you know, an old Anthony Davis and an old Kyrie Irving and already old Klay Thompson and PJ Washington and all these guys are getting into this, they're going to be in this weird year age when Cooper's coming into his prime. And the way you usually build is you bring in this young star around younger talent and build up from the core. And they just aren't going to have that. And they're not going to have the draft capital to keep filling up this team with younger talent. They're going to have to be really crafty in how they build around Cooper so that way they can have two generations, one generation come in and out and the other one start in a clean way. And I don't think we've seen an NBA team do that effectively. I think if you look at a lot of Golden State Warriors teams for the last 10, 15 years, they've been trying to figure that out. And I think it's ultimately what kind of spelled the end for them here is they haven't ever been able to get the congruent generation in with Curry at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think we're maybe jumping ahead too far, and there's a
True.
chance Nico Harrison just takes Dylan Harper or like trades Cooper Flagg or
You
does
know what?
something so stupid.
Clip that, because you should tweet that and just be like, are we sure Cooper isn't going to get moved to the Lakers?
Yeah, do you think he's like he has an eating problem? Like he comes in, Nico sees him drinking a Coke or something, and he just trades
he's
him as soon
drinking a
as he
beer.
can.
Yeah. It's like, are we sure he doesn't trade him for, you know, like 50 cents on the dollar? Or he's like, oh, you know what? I forgot to add this to the Luka trade. They were also supposed to get Cooper Flagg.
Maybe he's like he goes, Cooper Flagg for Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado, and he's like defense wins
Yeah.
championships. So
Yeah. He's like, all right, I need to get another center here. Like we obviously center is how we're winning. So I know like obviously I want to keep Daniel Gafford, who said he wants to be paid like a starting center. Obviously I'm gonna keep him. So I think we go and look and try and get, what's his face? Goga Bitadze, I think, is a guy
Yep.
that they could probably bring in for Cooper.
Let's get
I think you
Goga
give a
and
call to Rudy
Wendell in a
Gobert.
package.
Somehow get them.
See what the price is on Suggs. Maybe we throw in Kyrie for him.
Maybe you get Gobert somehow. I think like Cooper for Gobert is something that you can do.
If we go a
The other
lineup
thing
of
I
Gobert, AD, Gafford, Carter, Goga, that's a good. They're
Lively. You
not
get
scoring at
Lively
the
in
rim.
there. Yeah, Lively running point. I think that works. One thing I want to talk about too is Philly at three just has an opportunity to really build something here with this young core with Grimes and McCain. And Maxi,
Yeah,
and
that one makes me want to like really dive into the prospects and see who is going to be a good
yeah.
fit for them at three, because at that point, like we always talk about if you draft for fit or if you draft best overall. I think Philly might be in a spot where they go and get a guy who can, plug and play right away. Obviously, I don't know. Maybe they want to pivot and go the other direction. I would love to hear, draft experts' opinions on, what direction Philly should go and if there's a prospect that fits that could help them right away at three, because that's a really good outcome for them after a terrible season.
I mean, the funniest one is just getting Malawak and just being like, all right, another 7-2 center.
Yeah.
Obviously he's not anything like Embiid. He's not the nearly the offensive prospect of as Embiid, like not even in the same league. But it's just funny for them to get like another 7-foot-2 guy and be like, all right, run it back. But in reality though, what they have in Philly, I honestly think this number three pick makes Embiid 10% more expendable than he already is. And honestly, I think if Embiid was tradable right now, he would have been moved off. Do you agree with that? Like if they had offers that were up to
Yeah,
their
I don't
standards,
think he's tradable at all. I think
that's what I
if
agree
you were
with.
to trade him, you're getting, 20 cents on the dollar. You may as well just hope he plays better next year and stays
I
healthy a
agree.
little bit.
I agree. I think now though, they might be more willing to be a little bit flexible with either his recovery or taking something less on that trade back.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they actually do have something of a young core here with, like I said, with Maxey and Grimes and Jared McCain. You add in whoever this third pick is, and you kind of build out from there. Like they're not in horrible shape, because they have the third pick. I mean, like Ace Bailey, there's questions about him, right? But if he becomes what he projects to be, and you pair him with Paul George, someone that he's like an idol, like that Paul George is Ace Bailey's idol. Like, that's something that's very interesting. There's a lot of moves they can make here. And I'm going to be fascinated to see. I think two down, this draft starts at two, and it's just fascinating kind of all the way through.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I can't wait to see what move San Antonio makes. I hope they don't make us wait till draft night. I bet they will though.
My guess is they make it wait till draft night and then they don't do anything and they take. That's
And they just
how
take
this goes.
Harper.
Yeah. Or they trade him for fucking, they trade him to Minnesota. That's what they did last year. Remember,
Yep.
who did they, it was our
Rob.
guy, Rob Dill. You and I, the live show, we were flipping out. For 2 minutes, we were like, they
Yeah, they were
have
right.
Rob Dillingham and Steph Castle. Yeah, they were right. They're right. They knew better than us, but that's all right. Shout out Rob Dillingham. Okay. Yeah, let's get to the Celtics game because I'm excited.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, yeah, so that was our emergency episode. Had to do it. I mean, just insane odds for this to happen, and of course, the craziest thing ever happens. So, shout out to you, Jordan, for being able to come on. We are going to post this, and then we'll be back for our regular scheduled Sunday episode. Are we officially on Giannis watch?
We are definitely on Giannis watch. With this San Antonio situation now, we are on full Giannis to San Antonio watch in my mind.
Yeah, so we're on. I think we're officially on standby for Giannis watch. So, that means anytime Giannis gets traded, if he gets traded, we'll definitely do an emergency episode. But other than that, we will be back to our regular scheduled Sunday episodes. And then, yeah, if anything crazy happens with trades or anything like that, we'll do our emergency episode. But other than that, we're gonna just be cruising through. So, go Celtics! Thank you all for listening. We love you all, and peace.